In the beginning is the new beginning. John, in today's passage, which Ron just read for us, you've heard his, John's narrative, take on the narrative that lies at the heart of the gospel. Jesus, who was crucified, has been raised. And in the verses for today, you've heard how Mary discovers Jesus' tomb is now empty. Let's allow this story to excite us today. We are witnesses here to the moment when Mary meets her risen Lord. Her grief turns to joy, and she brings to us the good news that has been proclaimed throughout all the ages. I have seen the Lord. In the opening of John's Gospel, in verse 38 of the first chapter, Jesus' first words are a question directed at the disciples of John the Baptist. He says, "What are you looking for?" And here, in this beginning, this new creation, Jesus asks Mary a very similar question, "Whom are you looking for?" We'll explore the difference between those questions, the what and the whom, in a moment, but we can definitely say that a new ministry is beginning, a new story. Unlike the synoptic gospels, that's obviously Matthew, Mark, Luke, not John, unlike the synoptic gospels, which begin at dawn, John's tale begins in the dark, in the absence of light. This is the writer, John, who at the opening of his gospel took us not to a stable, but to the very opening of creation, in the beginning. Perhaps this is the writer of the fourth gospel taking us back once more to that primordial darkness when the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. Or the author might be echoing, in his telling of the story, Paul's declaration in 2 Corinthians that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we experience a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We certainly are in a garden, which chimes in with what Jessica was talking about this morning. And that chimes in, even more importantly than Jessica, if I can say, with Genesis. Without knowing it, Mary has correctly identified Jesus as the gardener, who is bringing in a new world, a new life, and a new creation, into being as he'd done before. So in our minds, we can all hear the words from the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the first creation story, God drove Eve and Adam out of the garden. But in the new creation, Jesus sends Mary out of the garden rejoicing. She's sent out to tell everyone that the darkness has not overcome the Word made flesh who lived among us. She has seen her rabbi, and now she understands that she has seen the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. But I'm getting ahead of myself. It's all the excitement. So let's go back to the start of the story we heard from Ron. Mary Magdalene would be the very first person that Christ chooses to reveal himself to on that great day, that great resurrection morning. This could not have been by chance. Jesus could have revealed himself to any number of his disciples, but he chose Mary. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus states that Mary loved him so much because she had been forgiven of so much. I think we should all hear in this that even though we are far from perfect, we can be forgiven and we will receive God's love and come to know the risen Christ. A few verses before the ones we heard today, Peter and John had surveyed the tomb and they had left to return to their home. Mary, however, had no home to go home to. Christ had become her life. She stayed at the burial ground and she would not leave the tomb until Christ had removed her burden and healed her heart with the hope of his resurrection and life. Though Mary Magdalene was not doing anything really out of the norm for the time in going to the tomb, She must have got up very early that morning of the first day of the week to anoint his body again. Literally, she would have had to leave somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. to walk to the place of his burial to do this last act of devotion and discipleship. She was beginning her journey under the cover of darkness, but she was going towards the light. She was coming to Jesus, the light of the world, and now, unbeknownst to her, risen from the dead. Her grief and her pain at the loss of her Lord is compounded now by the loss of his body. This was the last place she'd seen his broken, dead body, and she will not move from it. The loss of his body is the final indignity for her. Even her grief feels like it has been violated. The emotional turmoil of the last few days overwhelms her, and she breaks down and weeps at the sight of the empty tomb. Yet, despite her grief, she plucks up courage to look into the tomb for herself, and what a sight she's met with. He had died between two thieves, and now two angels sit, and between them are the empty grave clothes, declaring Christ's resurrection. In verse 13, we heard that the angels ask her a simple question. Woman, why are you crying? From the perspective of heaven, the angel's perspective, tears at the empty tomb of Christ make no sense at all. From the angel's perspective, tears of grief on this Easter morning are totally inappropriate. But for Mary, as they would have been for us, they are the only way to express her heart's pain. We hear her reply. Through tear-stained cheeks and a tear-stained voice, she utters her grief. They have taken my Lord. Whoever they were, they are now her enemies because they have taken her Lord from her. We can all learn a simple lesson here. Anything that removes Jesus from our presence is our enemy. I don't know where to find him. That's true for Mary, but Christ knows exactly where to find her. John tells us that Mary Magdalene immediately becomes aware of another presence behind her and, turning round, perceives him to be the gardener. Turning back to our new creation theme, the first Adam was meant to be a gardener. We hear that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And now the second Adam is mistaken for a gardener. Jesus now asks her the same question that the angels had asked. Why are you crying? And asks a second question. Whom are you looking for? Now that's actually a much harder question than you might think. We prefer to answer the question that I mentioned earlier, which Jesus had asked the disciples of John the Baptist. What are you looking for? When we're asked that question, what are we looking for? We might want to answer similarly to Adam and Eve, that we want more power and more control. That's always my answer. Or do we answer as Judas does, that we want some money? Or do we, like Peter, ask for forgiveness for the times when we have let Jesus down? But we must realize that the question of Easter is not what, but whom. Easter is not offering us something. It is offering us someone. Easter is offering us Jesus. Jesus is asking the same question of us this Easter time. Whom are we looking for? When Mary still thinks she's talking to the gardener, she's courteous to him, even in the midst of her grief, and she asks where they have taken his body so that she might go and bring it back. Ironically, she's asking the very person who is responsible for the tomb being empty. But at that point, she does not recognize him. She's come to this tomb, this place of death, looking for a corpse to anoint. And in a moment, she will leave, having met with the living Lord in the midst of this place of death. How often have we all found life in the midst of what we thought was death, only because the living Christ was there? Jesus utters just one word, and I want you to really hear this word, Mary. And her eyes are opened to who it is that is standing before us, before her now. The good shepherd calls his sheep by name, and they will know his voice and heed his call. That's what Jesus had said in John chapter 10. Now, here is a practical demonstration of that truth. He simply calls her name, Mary, and her shattered soul is transformed, and her shattered world is remade. It's her own name, spoken by Jesus, which opened her eyes to the truth of the resurrection. When Jesus calls his sheep, he always calls them by name. It's always personal with Christ. Can we hear him calling our name? Can we hear him calling our name? For Mary Magdalene, it was not until she heard Jesus' voice calling out her name that she knew that he was raised from the dead. So why, and this is a question again to ask ourselves, why do some people seem to be deaf to Jesus calling on them? Now, I think it's what we bring that affects what we can hear. If we are so concerned about ourselves, all we will hear is our own voices echoing back to us. If we are so concerned about our brokenness, all we will hear is the clanking of our guilt and of our fear. So what lessons can you and I learn this morning from Mary Magdalene that will help us? I think one of the things we can learn is that when grief and pain in our life comes, as it will, that we need to be honest about it. Mary Magdalene cried at the tomb. She was overwhelmed by the thought that his body had been stolen. She did not put on any false face. She did not utter patronizing words. It will all work out for the good. Standing outside the empty tomb, with arms full of spices and a broken heart, she utters the truest words in the midst of tears. We don't know where they have taken him. She remained there even when everyone else had left, and she was rewarded with the resurrected Lord calling her by name, Mary. Jesus is risen from the dead for us, no matter what we are holding on to today that might be getting in the way of faith. His victory over death is already ours. The story of Easter is still the story of Jesus calling out to people where they are. The good news for John came easily. He did not understand, but he believed without seeing. That is the case for some of us, but for most of us, so many other things get in the way of believing in our own forgiveness and our own freedom. For Mary Magdalene, it was more difficult than for John. She came with sorrow, looking for a body. With tears in her eyes, Mary was talking with Jesus, but she still did not believe or understand. But when Jesus called out her name, then she could hear, through her fears and her sorrows, and see that Jesus had risen. Many of us don't know exactly how hard it is to claim the resurrection through our tears. Many of us know how hard it is to claim the resurrection through our fears and through our feelings of abandonment, especially when we have just buried a loved one. But Jesus keeps calling out her name, and finally, too, we can claim that resurrection hope once again. For others, the struggle for things and for power gets in the way of faith. We're more like Peter, wanting to understand before we believe. But Jesus did not give up on Peter. Even though Peter did not understand or believe on his visit to the Easter Garden, Jesus came to him again a few hours later through the announcement of Mary in the upper room on Easter evening, and finally beside the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus came to him and asked the very personal question, "Do you love me?" So he comes to us again and again, asking us directly and personally, "Whom are you looking for?" If you are looking for something more than what the world offers, if you are looking for faith, for hope, for love, it is offered to you, not a what, but a who. And his name is Jesus, risen from the dead for you and for me. The good news of Easter is that if you can't receive it today, Jesus won't give up on you. He will come again and again until we, like John, like Mary Magdalene, and even like Peter, claim it for ourselves. And when we do, we have no choice but to run and tell others, "I have seen the Lord." Now that is the challenge for us all this morning in church. Jesus commanded Mary Magdalene to go and tell the disciples that he had risen from the dead, and that she had met with her risen Lord. She went and did what she was commanded. And I think that as a church, there's a lesson here that we need to follow. We say, most of us would say, that we have met with the risen Christ. We say that he has freed us from a broken life. But we can maybe ask ourselves, who have we told? Is it not about time that we tell those we love, or even people that we don't know? Is it not about time that we actually told as many people as we can the wonderful news? That's a question that we can all ponder on a little today. And it might be that many of you have told lots of people, but I think we should always be looking for opportunities to share the faith, the exciting story that Ron read for us earlier, the story that Jesus comes and calls us all by name. Amen.